And welcome back to the Empty Bottle Podcast. This is your host, Gabe.
And this is your host, Fred.
Thanks for coming back. Real local Chicago flavor to the show.
Yes, with an added new surprise. The first ever for the Empty Bottle Podcast this time around.
Yeah, this is an exclusive for the Empty Bottle Podcast. Our first exclusive, aside from the interviews, of course.
Yes, but new exclusives for you. We have Single Man Affair. He stopped by, and he decided to perform live for us over here at the studio.
Yeah, came over to the SoFu Studios. It was in preparation for the show that just passed, actually. The Six Organs of Admittance, Bird Show, and Single Man Affair show at the Bottle on last Friday, July 14th. Fred and I were both out of town, very sadly.
There was some cottaging and beach time needed.
Hey, there always is in the summer. Summer's here and the time is right for cottaging. So we had to get Dan in here to at least give us some tunes, since we were missing out. Played us a song that's not even on his upcoming records on Pop Tones, but it's on the next record that this is the first song he's written for. So we're going to get actually really Dylan with this. And in true Dylan style, you know, like some of his songs would come out recorded by the Byrds before he could even put them to tape. They'd be selling the songs already. We should do like a we'll do a competition. You're not going to get to be Roger McGuinn, but whoever does the best cover of Single Man Affairs, what's the name of this track? We'll find out in a second. Yes. Whoever does a cover of this new Single Man Affairs song that he's about to play, we'll play it on the show too. You can have your own little slice of podcast fame.
Or infamy, however you want to look at it.
Oh, it's a dirty, dirty game. So here it is. Without further ado, this is us talking to Single Man Affair. All right, we're here with Dan Schneider, right? That's your last name. I knew that. Who is from the Single Man Affair. It's a band now, but it's your band. It's your songs. Not your first band, though.
No.
How'd you end up doing these solo tunes?
So,
give us, you know what, this isn't your first interview, I know, but how many Single Man Affair interviews have you done now? This is going to be the first exhaustive one. I've declared
it. This is the first, definitely the first online web interview I've ever
done. Oh, that's great. Good for us.
Bringing it to cyberspace.
First time. I've never been in cyberspace until it was Market Frenzy.
Oh, for the okay. So we'll do
the sponsors out there.
Plug. Yeah, this is the plug for the other podcast. Market-frenzy.com, Gabe and Fred's other podcast. You can find the link on the Empty Bottle website. Say no more. So, on the web for the first time. So just kind of for everyone on the web then, just kind of give us the story how you ended up doing
so. Basically, I've been in bands for about 10 years in Chicago and different names, different bands. And I just, I love playing in bands. I love everything about playing in bands. But unfortunately, being in a band is being in a democracy. And you have four different people that you have to make sure that everyone has some form of a say in what they want to do. And I basically had always had these ideas of songs I've wanted to write. And I've always tried to incorporate some of them into groups. But then you have another songwriter or you'd have, you know, different influences. And basically Single Man Affair was born because it was my completely 100% selfish act of doing everything the way I wanted it to be. I recorded everything the way I wanted it. All the songs were depressing and sad the way I wanted them to be. And I just, that's basically how it was born.
And before Single Man Affair, it was Pedal Steel Transmission. You played around town.
Yes.
And
we were actually in a band. I met Gary. We were in a band called Bandaloop for a couple years. And then we kind of broke up and then found this really great country drummer from Southern Illinois and played in Pedal Steel, and then he left for LA, and then we kind of morphed into more indie psychedelic music, and now we kind of change our name to Hummingbird, but it's most of the same members.
And is that still going?
Yeah. Hummingbird. Right. We're actually hoping to release our debut as Hummingbird this summer. It was recorded by Roger Mutna, who did like Yola Tango, Sleater-Kinney. So it should be
right on. Cool. So big year for you. When's the single Man Affair? Now this is of course causing a coup, because you've been instantly validated now in true Chicago fashion. You've been playing around. Your demos have been floating around. You know, everybody knew who you were, and all of a sudden validated overseas.
Yes.
What's your take on that? Do you just kind of shake your head? Well, can we tell the story is you're signed to Pop Tones now.
Yes.
Which is Alan McGee's label. Alan McGee of Creation Records fame. And you can just Google Alan McGee and find out that whole story. But pretty legendary figure in the music industry, I would say, at this point.
Yeah, I was blown away a little bit by that.
You're going to tell this story a million times. Do you have it succinctly down?
I have it succinctly. Basically, I got a cold call out of the blue. From their A&R guy, and I knew something was up because I didn't think one of my friends could do an English accent that good, but it seemed like someone was putting me on, you know. And I was like, okay, yeah, right, yeah. But after talking to this guy for a while, they were way into it, and I think that I think it's really cool actually, because I've had no success in the States whatsoever, yeah. And to have someone acknowledge you at all, I think, is a great feeling. And like the fact that it's in England kind of has a little bit more romanticism to it anyways, because a lot of my favorite bands, you know, be it, you know, Hendrix, whatever, all got their exposure first in Europe and then over in the States. So I still would like to release this record in the States, but just don't have any takers right now. But
so right now it's just coming out on Pop Tones.
It's coming out in the UK on August 7th on Pop Tones, and I will be touring this fall to support that, and then hopefully looking for someone to release it in the States. But in the meantime, I've started kind of putting together material for the next record.
And we just, in true internet edit Pro Tools, without Pro Tools fashion, we've already recorded, actually.
Actually recorded the first song for my new record.
That's, see, if you can't get your exclusives, does that, hey, wait a minute. Seeing that playing a song that's going to be commercially released later, playing it before its release is a federal crime now. So is this going to lead to FBI knocking down our doors? Wait a minute. What did we just do here?
We've got artist compliance.
Well, you see, are you officially compliant?
Well, you see, Gabe, this has been my master plan all along. And I've been, this is the way I can get in and break through from the inside. No, I don't know anything about that. You know, I've actually had to learn all that crap by signing a contract and doing all those things of like, what's legal, what's that mean? I had to get a lawyer, and all that stuff is just like the weirdest thing to me. Cause it's like, okay, make good music, give it to someone. They give you the freedom to like do the artwork, whatever. That's what I've always wanted. But there's a lot more of like making sure that you own the rights to the songs. You know, see how long your contract lasts. That,
yeah,
kind of crap, and it's a headache.
It's a minefield. It's an insane minefield to like navigate, to just like, you know, put out a record.
What's the furthest thing from your mind?
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form, you're like, I'm playing shows, I'm talking to people, I'm making posters. Wait a second, contracts and like legal things like this. I don't know. It seems bizarre.
Do you feel now though? I'm going to use the word empowered, but do you feel like you understand it now?
I got a better understanding. I think that lawyers and people of that nature, and people who are kind of dicks in their record field, will, you know, recording field, will always do whatever it takes to make money off of you and exploit you in any way they can. But I feel that I know how to protect myself a little better. And I, you know, so far everything's been cool with this label too. They're really artist friendly, and so I haven't had any problems. But it's just when you start getting into signing things, you know, you just don't know. I've heard a lot of bad stories from bands of people I've known, and you know, they get dropped from this label and they owe money, or you know, so.
Well, yeah, if I can editorialize, I think it's kind of your responsibility, really, as a musician. If you want to do it as a living to make money, you've got to. I think. This is something that people in hip-hop learned years ago, and it's just coming to the indie rockers now, where it's like a message to all you indie rockers out there. Like, seriously, get your business fairs in order, because if you don't...
Hipsters, mods, squares, heads, get out there.
Yeah.
Learn your legal rights.
Really? Know your rights! But seriously, because if you don't protect yourself, you know, some guy's going to fuck you over, and the only difference is going to be from a major label is that he's going to have a better haircut.
Yeah.
And sometimes not even that.
Yeah, exactly.
So
let's get to music, though.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk tunes for a minute.
That's what...
Yeah. So I was asking you about how you learned to fingerpick, because fingerpicking, for everybody who, you know, a lot of people who come up in independent music come up listening to the Ramones and doing their downstrokes. Yeah. And it's always, finger picking's been really daunting for me to get into. We interviewed Jack Rose before, and I was kind of obsessed about it. But we were talking about this earlier, how you kind of picked up.
I kind of picked up from like Dylan books, and like a couple different Mel Bay books have like these really simple, like they'll have like you put one finger here, the second finger here, the third finger here, and then you kind of just repeat this motion. And I could never really ever do them right, but then you eventually find patterns that, work for you. And it's kind of like the way I think about finger picking is kind of jumping on, like, you know, a Ferris wheel or one of those, I don't know what they're called, in the playground, those things that turn around.
What are those things called?
Vomit inducers?
Yeah, some kind of vomit inducers. It's kind of jumping on one of those, and you just kind of get yourself in a cycle and your hand just starts going. And I think it's really actually, it's kind of like soothing, because you can get into like a rhythm with it, and you just figure different ways to add things onto it. And but as far as like starting it, I mean, the one thing I always tell people, you start with like having your guitar either just all the open notes or open tune it. And that's how I started. It was just open, not putting any other fingers involved, just doing the open tuning.
And this is to maybe the average listener, what the hell are they talking about? An open tuning on guitar. We're going to give people a little music lesson here. An open tuning. How would you describe open tunings for, like, the average
An open person? Tuning is basically tuning your guitar to a chord. And so that when you hit it, all the strings without any fingers applied to the strings, you'll hit a chord.
Yeah, so it sounds, instead of sounding like, it sounds like a nice note. Gling. Who are the famous open tuners? Joni Mitchell?
John Fahey,
Jimmy Page ripping off Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. A lot of the blues guitars, like Muddy Waters was way into open tuning. Elizabeth Cotton, what's his name? Like a lot of those old, like John Lee Hooker, and who's the big guy I was thinking of, that Mississippi John Hurt. He had some great...
That's a really fun, if anybody out there is like learning to play guitar, just kind of Google open tuning, and you know,
Google Mississippi John Hurt, and you'll, and